Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 346 of Heroes Unlimited, and today we're in the equipment section. We've had a few days of just talking about transdimensional Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because we've been talking about equipment that is found in Ninjas and Super Spies. So it's stuff that we've already talked about on the podcast. Today, though, less than 50% of the material here was found in Ninjas and Super Spies, which means per my arbitrary but nonetheless inflexible rules, we do need to talk about this page. Get to talk about this page, really, because there is a little idiosyncratic thing about this page, a detail unique to me that I'm going to bring you that kind of addresses like why I'm doing this podcast. I mean, Heroes Unlimited is interesting, I think. I think Ninjas and Super Spies is interesting too. It's interesting to look at why these very strange books are the way they are, what's contained within them, you know, plumb their secrets, things that probably even their authors were not fully conscious of. It's fun to make fun of what's dumb. It's fun to go back and find the really fun ideas and far-fetched concepts that made these things appealing to me as a kid and makes these books appealing to me now. But ultimately, I wouldn't have known there was something here in these books if I hadn't read them and fully absorbed them as a kid. I can't emphasize to you enough how much the very fabric of my childhood was defined by these books. I mean, I spent hours and hours and hours making characters for both Heroes Unlimited and Ninjas and Super Spies. I can readily think back to like the families going on a trip to the river. There's like this little campground where you can rent out an area for just the day and drive there and go swim in the river. And then, of course, being the person that I am, I'm like, fuck the river. Let me go play in their little video game shack that's got like a Mortal Kombat machine and some pinball. And I would take Ninjas and Super Spies with me. And like, can I make Kano in Ninjas and Super Spies? Sure, I can. Hey, how about a ninja with power armor? Let me bring Heroes Unlimited. These are like childhood memories. And whenever I cast my mind back to me at a certain age, I'm always towing these books around. The impression that they made was deep. I mean, obviously. And sometimes that crops up in unexpected ways. So here's the thing about this page. Throughout the equipment section, as I noted this book up, I went in and I like highlighted the stuff that's in Ninjas and Super Spies. That allows me, number one, to tell, am I talking about this page or am I doing transdimensional TMNT? And also to identify the stuff that is fair game or most interesting to talk about. I want to talk about new material when I can. So other than some fairly dull cameras and AV equipment on this page, the main thing that appears here that isn't in Ninjas and Super Spies is some special sensory equipment. You know, this is for if your character is one of those scientist superheroes who likes to play science detective and solve crimes like Batman, or, you know, some versions of Dr. Midnight are like this, then these are the gadgets for you. First up is the portable laboratory. It's nearly 60 pounds. So, I mean, it's portable, but you got to be devoted to science. You got to be willing to get up every morning, take your daily Percocet that you now need after years of schlepping this thing around, strap on your big chrome backpack with the atomic symbol on the back, give your lower back one good stretch, and get out there and do some science. 60 pounds is a lot to carry on a daily basis, but you get a lot for it. You get a microscope, specimen slides, an incubation chamber the size of a VCR. Imagine the dedication to science that it would take to go into the field every day with an incubation chamber. Or, I mean, maybe not even every day. Maybe your portable laboratory is for special circumstances, right? When you're on a science-related mission, you take the portable laboratory. Even so, incubation chamber is very specific. What's funny, though, about role-playing is that if you ask me how many times in the course of an adventure have I wished I had an incubator on me, the answer is not zero. And I think the same thing would be true of most superheroes in their careers, too. Like, haven't you from time to time run into a dinosaur egg? Haven't you at least once found a clutch of shocker lizard eggs after you cleared out the shocker lizard den? It sometimes happens. It's the life of an adventurer. So it's got an incubation chamber. It's got four burners, an instrument tray, a refrigeration chamber, an isolation chamber, a chemical cabinet, which contains lots of common useful chemicals, plus chemical analysis equipment. It's also got a centrifuge. It's got a dosimeter, or dosimeter, I don't know how that's pronounced. It's got a tape recorder. It's got a small computer. There's a camera in there, and a toxic analyzer. And the whole thing costs $62,000. I, for one, think this is amazing. This is like the thieves' tools of Heroes Unlimited, where particularly if you started D&D the way that I pretty much did, like I played a little bit of AD&D, but I really started with 3.0. And if you look at the illustration of thieves' tools in that book, just seeing all those tools laid out, it's so tempting. I want every character to have thieves' tools. Even if I'm not playing a thief, or I'm sorry, a rogue, I still want to buy thieves' tools just because I want to have a saw, a hammer, a little pick, that cool roll-up leather case. It's just all great stuff to have. In the same way, even if I don't know science, just the panache of running into some alien eggs from the planet Zebu, and everybody's like, oh, what are we going to do about these alien eggs? And you're like, oh, no problem, hold on. And you reach into your backpack and pull out an incubator. This is like scratching a very particular power fantasy niche for me. It's like after you watch The Goonies and you want to be the gadget kid, and so you start carrying a lot of shit around just to be prepared because you think it's going to make you look cool to the other kids. I'm not too proud to admit that part of me still exists. I sublimated into role-playing, but I want to be the guy who pulls out the incubator. I want to be the guy who the GM says, well, unfortunately, the alien engine requires a cesium core to function. Oh, cesium, you say? Womp. That's the sound of me pulling out my chemical cabinet and putting it on the counter in front of me. Cesium, cesium, ah, here it is. Of course I got a sample of cesium. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? I got a whole backpack full of science here. I'm ready for any occasion. It's a great, great gadget. I love the portable laboratory. But the portable laboratory is more for if you're like a hard science type character. Again, a Dr. Midnight, a character who's going to like take a sample, put it on a slide, pull out a piece of real world science equipment like a microscope and do some real or plausible at least science. And I can get into that kind of character. It's probably my preference. But then again, I don't really know science. I mean, I'm trying to live out a fantasy where I went to school to learn about real things that exist in the world instead of fake things that exist in books. I want to indulge in the fantasy of being able to do math. I want to indulge in a sweet, sweet dream of having useful skills. But at the end of the day, I'm the guy who, to this day, has never clearly seen anything in a microscope. So I kind of have to settle for fantasy science. And there, too, Palladium's got me covered. There's a much more fantastical device on this page. It is a, quote, uniquely comprehensive sensory device with full scanning capabilities. And full is in capital letters, and goddamn does it deserve them. This gadget has radar / sonar out to 5 miles. It detects radiation. It detects radar. It detects heat, infrared, ultraviolet, microwave. It's a long-range wideband radio. It's got a short-range communicator built in, so it's like one little walkie-talkie you can take away and communicate with the main set. It's got a video camera in there. It's got a, quote, audio-visual recorder using metal discs with digital meter, which I don't even know what that means, but it sure sounds like science, especially given it's 1998. Now it doesn't seem like a big deal to be able to record video with your sensor gadget onto a digital medium, but in 1998 you would have been burned as a fucking witch if you had recorded video onto something with no tape involved. There's even a tripod you can attach. Just like, you know, how nowadays we all carry around tripods to put our cell phones onto for when we really want to take quality video. This gadget costs about $75,000. Usually it's limited to scientific research or the military, it says. So if you're like a super spy type character, you might have one of these. Again, this is good for your like Wahoo Gonzo fantasy science character. This is not a character who would use a real microscope. That's for losers. This character just whips out his gadget, pushes some buttons, beep, beep, beep. I sense a high concentration of microwave energy. Let me home in on the source of the energy. Oh shit, it's Microwave Man. Now we know where he is, we can go beat the shit out of him. Thanks, science. I'm glad I brought you along. This gadget, while somewhat more grounded in reality, reminds one of nothing so much as a tricorder from Star Trek, but it's not a tricorder. It is a, quote, portable scan dihilator. That's D-I-H-I-L-A-T-O-R. Dihilator. A portable scan dihilator. Now, as I mentioned, I watched The Goonies. I pored over the Who's Who entry for Batman's utility belt. Yes, Batman's utility belt had its own entry in Who's Who. And I appreciated it. Thank you. I was that kind of kid. I liked being able to bust out some fantasy science in my role-playing game, so I would often equip my characters with these gadgets. And I was particularly impressed with the pinnacle of sensory technology that is the portable scan dihilator. So here's what happened. When I came to this page in the course of the podcast, I was sort of casting about for things to talk about on this page. And I thought, you know, the dihilator here is so cool. A real dihilator couldn't be this good, could it? Like, I understand that it's, you know, experimental military tech, but I bet what happened is there's some gadget that was deployed with the military that Kevin Sambita read about, and it's a prototype that never really quite worked and didn't have all these features, or maybe it was like technically man-portable, but you kind of gotta drag it around on a cart. This has to be a fantastical version of the real portable scan dihilator, you know, that I foolishly believed could be this good in my youth. So let me look it up. You know what I'll do? I'll go to the Wikipedia page for scan dilators, and I'll just find out what their real capabilities are, and I'll have great fun in this episode talking about how that dummy, Kevin Sambita, overestimated the abilities of a real, realistic scan dilator. So, long story short, there's no such fucking thing as a scan dilator. As far as I know, there's no such word as dilator. I have believed, since at least the age of, let's say, 11 years old, that a dilator is a piece of equipment that exists in the world that someone has, and I had only the shadowiest idea of who would have these. Like, I thought maybe, you know, military scientists in some way, or like, if there was like an Antarctic base, then, you know, the scientists who lived there would get together in their parkas like in The Thing and rub their hands together and, you know, drink their hooch that they smuggled into the base and be like, well, time to check out the dilator and get some readings. Something like that, you know. I didn't think you could go buy them at the mall. I didn't expect to find any on Amazon, but I thought the dilators were real. I had no reason not to. I've been reading about dilators all my life in multiple different books. This is how ridiculously fucking simple the human mind is. Over the course of many years of my childhood, reading about portable scan dilators in Heroes Unlimited, Rifts, other Palladium books that I borrowed from a friend, my stupid fucking human brain is like, that's like three books we've read about dilators in. Obviously they exist. Ninjas have them, superheroes have them, ghost hunters have them, everybody has them. They're obviously real. Three books don't lie. Well, I'm here to tell you, three books do lie. If you look up dilator on the internet, the only results that turn up, other than like pages of random words that may not exist, are references to Palladium books, leaving me to wonder, what the fuck is a dilator? What is it supposed to be? When Kevin Sambita sits down and thinks, dilator, what does he see? There's certainly no explanation of it here. It just says, quote, the portable scan dilator is an uniquely comprehensive sensory device with full scanning capabilities. No other explanation is given. I mean, there's no weight, there's no size, it's something you can screw a tripod onto and carry around. That's all that I know. I think the psionic and magic sections really upped the ante with questionable game and book design decisions, but I've rarely been so baffled in the course of the podcast as I am with this. Where did Kevin Sambita get the portable scan dilator? What is it? What is it supposed to be? I mean, I can surmise that maybe it was based on the tricorder from Star Trek, right? Try, die, makes sense. But what's a hillator? I mean, do you think I didn't look up H-I-L as a root word? Of course I did. Of course I dug into the etymology trying to figure this out. To no avail. I know that in one book, I think it's a reprint of one of the Mechanoid Invasion books, and I shout out Glistem on Twitter, Dave Folmsby. I hope I'm saying his name right. It's off the top of my head. I interact with him all the time on Twitter. I reached out to people on Twitter to try to figure out where the dilator first appeared, and he steered me in the right direction. It goes all the way back to the Mechanoid Invasion, and in one reprint of a Mechanoid book, it's referred to as a dilator rather than a dilator. So I guess at a stretch, we could say that dilator is an extremely long-lived misspelling of dilator, but I don't even want to think about how this thing is supposed to work if it dilates something. Now we got a speculum on a tripod. No, thank you. I want no part of this fantasy science. It's not my fucking fantasy. I think dilator has to be wrong. I think what happened is some editor somewhere along the way, finally someone was awake at the editing table at Palladium Books and was like, dilator, this isn't a word, must be dilator. But no, they're wrong. Dilator is its own ill-defined fantasy thing, apparently. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe I'm going to release this episode and I'm going to be flooded with comments saying, you fool, a dilator. Don't you know what a dilator is? I really don't. I thought I did. I've thought that I did for like 24 years. I really did. But in Googling for it, it just isn't anywhere. Here's the thing. Takeaway number one, don't just give random books to children. Because in this case, we're fortunate that it was harmless and that I just thought that there were such things as scan dilators. I didn't necessarily believe in the portable scan dilator, but I sort of marked it down in my mind to a non-portable scan dilator, like, oh, that seems more realistic. But it could have been anything, and I would have believed it, because I was that age, and it was a book that I read again and again until my brain was just like, oh, okay, dilator, sure. And takeaway number two, what kind of mad genius is Kevin Sambita to sit down in a game like Heroes Unlimited, which is set in a world ostensibly like our own, right? It's got some advanced tech, but it's a world like our own. and the equipment section is full of stuff that is real and really exists. Who just sits down and puts into that a totally made-up thing? A piece of equipment from whole cloth that doesn't exist at all, with a name that comes apparently from nowhere. Just pure imagination. Kevin Sambita, the fucking Willy Wonka of role-playing games, just comes out with just pure creation. Just, boy, it'd be useful if you were an adventurer to be able to detect radiation and microwaves and radar and shit. I'm writing the equipment list. What would you use to do that? I know. A dihilator. It's an object called a dihilator. Are you a fucking wizard? Where did this come from? Just inventing words and shit? Goddamn. I'm the kind of person who wants to get to the bottom of things like this, as I guess is evidenced by my etymological search for some form of like reason or logic here. I want to know where things came from, but I'm always impressed by just raw creativity, just raw invention. Like, I love owlbears, I love mimics, I love oozes and golems, but I'm fascinated by the flump, you know? I'm impressed by the hook horror, you know? Or like in Marvel Comics, I love what Jack Kirby did with, you know, Namor and Doctor Doom, but I'm blown away by the Silver Surfer because it's like, okay, God is a 20-foot man in a very tall hat who eats planets for breakfast, but he needs somebody to look for those planets. Who would look for those planets? Obviously, a chrome-covered naked man on a surfboard. This is an idea I would never have had. It's pure creation. That's what impresses me the most, I think. Now, you know, this is no Silver Surfer. It's no flump. But in its own way, I think the portable scan dihilator shows that Kevin Sambita has some measure of this gift, that ability to just purely make shit up and put it on the page, that maybe is part of what makes his work so compelling despite its flaws. And it is flawed. I mean, the dumbest thing on this page, I have to admit, is simply making up a word with no explanation for a physical object, no less. Like, making up a noun for an object that you then proceed not to describe, and then using that made-up word and expecting the reader to know what the fuck you're talking about, that's like what we're seeing here. So that's dumb. But it's dumb in a way that I personally cannot begrudge. Like, we have one sap and one root. Let there be commerce between us, Kevin Sambita. I'm sitting here judging this questionable writing technique now as a person who believed until the year of our Lord 2019 that someone in the real world was running around with a scan dihilator. So, like, who am I to judge? You know? This is me. This is who I am. It's part of the fabric of my life. So it's dumb, but, you know, I can't but embrace it. Anyway, if you're not a fan of me saying nice things about Heroes Unlimited and its author, join me next time when we discuss a page full of equipment that was apparently more important than goddamn firearms on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.